And on that note, let's bring in our MLB insider from ESPN. It is Buster Olney. Hey, Buster, what's going on?
Yeah, man, what's going on? It's a lot more comfortable conversation than it was last week. It was, what, from seat 1D, trying to whisper leading up to the trade deadline. That was one of the stranger ones. When I got done, the person sitting next to me, you know, it turned out he was a huge baseball fan, and so he was like, okay, what's going to happen with this guy? What's going to happen with that guy?
Oh, nice.
How great would it be to be on a flight and be sitting next to Buster Olney, Carlo? Like, just the great conversations you'd have about baseball life. I mean, a lot of good things that would emerge there. That's for sure.
By the end of the trip, he'd probably say, thank God I don't have to sit next to that guy anymore.
I can imagine that would be the case. But with regards to the conversation we had last week, Buster, as you mentioned, from seat 6A on a flight, we talked a lot about what the Jays may or may not do ahead of the trade deadline. What was your reaction to what they ultimately did, and what was the reaction around Major League Baseball with how the Jays approached it?
Yeah, so what, the trade deadline passes, and then you go off and do your work and you do your shows, and then inevitably what happens is afterward you talk to general managers and you speak to evaluators and you ask them about, okay, what was discussed, and now that we're past the deadline, what was actually discussed, what was the, you know, what was behind the bluffing, what was behind the negotiating, what was the thought process? And what did you think of what your peers did? And what I got back from a lot of other teams was they thought that they were surprised the Blue Jays didn't do more. They were surprised that the Blue Jays were not more active, were not more aggressive, because I still think, you know, despite, how the early part of the season has played out, people look at the Blue Jays as being a team of great postseason potential. And
I kind of felt that Buster's phone was going to drop there. So, Chrissy, give Buster a call back, and we'll bring him in. And I think Buster's not alone, and the rival executives he's talking about there weren't alone. And
We talked about it the day after when the comment was, we feel like we're better today. And I'm like, better how?
I think they are. Again, we can go back and discuss this. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious they're better, but, I mean, relative to the opposing teams in their division and in the American League, and relative to their needs, and that reared its ugly head last night with Kikuchi and, of course, the injury to Ross Stripling, and they have a lack of starting pitching depth. And with Tim Mesa injured, they don't have a left-hander in the bullpen. So there's some significant holes.
Maybe Kikuchi can go to the bullpen,
well,
be the left-hander.
Maybe Kikuchi could become that bullpen guy. But I believe Buster is back on the line now. And, Buster, we're talking about the starting pitching problems. And now Kikuchi is extremely unreliable. We know that. Ross Stripling's on the injured list. They bring in Mitch White from the Dodgers. Barrios has been hit and miss all year. And then they have that injury in the bullpen to Tim Mesa. I mean, there's a lot of holes for the Jays right now. And really no way to really patch him up.
No, that's exactly right. You know, it's such a different situation than before they made the rule where you basically can't make transactions after the trade deadline. And so you have to try to work it out, which is why, you know, John Schneider after the game last night, Kikuchi, you know, picking at the strike zone, walking a couple guys early and struggling. And after the game, John Schneider's like, yep, he's going to keep getting opportunities because they don't really have an alternative at this point. A good alternative. They just have to weather the storm, hope they hold it together. And like a lot of teams, I think this time of year, they're going to try to make sure that their guys are, you know, as healthy as possible as we head down the stretch and into the postseason.
So, Buster, before you got cut off, you were talking about what your conversations were with other GMs. And ultimately, we see what the Blue Jays did. They go out and get some bullpen help, bullpen depth. You bring in Whit Merrifield. Were they in any other conversations with teams and GMs about players that they missed out on?
Not that I've heard specifically. What I heard a lot was there was more surprise. There was a lot of surprise from other teams that they weren't more aggressive about a left-handed hitter. I mean, you know, you guys and I talked about left-handed hitting. They got to get a left-handed hitter. And, you know, in a conversation with bullpen, that was the biggest surprise with folks with other teams, that there wasn't another guy added. And look, were there a lot of those type of guys? You know, not necessarily. You had Benintendi, who clearly was available, and you had Josh Bell, who became part of that deal with the Padres and Juan Soto. but I think there was general surprise that they didn't wind up getting one of those guys. You know, no matter what the vaccination stuff was, because as you've seen with Whit Merrifield, and I think we'll see it with Benintendi, you know, that seems to be a pliable situation that you can work through. I would say this, you know, about, you know, left-handed relief, because there are a lot of teams out there looking for it, including the Mets. There was a feeling that while, you know, we like to talk in the media about, boy, you need another left-hander for a bullpen, the three-batter rule that baseball has put in has really had a tremendous effect on how left-handers are used. You know, because there are managers, and I was speaking to one the other day, they're really leery about bringing in a left-hander who's not good against right-handers, feeling that it's just not worth it. And they'd rather have a good right-hander than a left-hander who matches up against a particular left-handed hitter. They just feel like there's too much risk bringing him in against, you know, bringing him in against right-handed hitters. That's why some of the teams that were attached to left-handed relief needs, they didn't go out and do stuff.
Our guest is ESPN's MLB insider Buster Olney. And Buster, we've been talking a lot about the Yankees all year, and rightfully so. They've had an incredible run. They have slowed down a little bit of late. They had lost five in a row heading into last night in Seattle, where they pick up a win. Aaron Judge hits a moonshot, 44th home run of the year. He's on pace for 65, but another injury to one of the biggest revelations of the Major League Baseball season in Matt Carpenter. He fractured his foot on a foul ball. How much concern do you think there is around the Yankees about their recent run of mediocrity?
Yeah, I think there is some concern because of the decision that they made at the deadline. You guys saw they traded Jordan Montgomery, one of their starting pitchers, to the St. Louis Cardinals for Harrison Bader, who is out with an Achilles injury. And I'm talking with the Yankees officials that their gamble was, look, we feel like we'll be a better October team if we add Harrison Bader. But they also understood that they, in the next 6 weeks, they're at risk because of the depth of the starting pitching, which is a big concern. In the last seven games, their ERA is 6.15. Like, they're getting hit around pretty good right now. Gerrit Cole has not been great lately. They need him to get back to his regular, you know, the way he usually pitches. Now, the saving grace for the Yankees is they have such a big lead still. Even after this recent slide, the Blue Jays playing better generally, they're still 10.5 games up after action yesterday, so they should be good, but they're vulnerable. And I would say this about Aaron Judge. Like, I still don't understand, and I know in this world of analytics, teams have moved away from the act of intentionally walking hitters. I don't understand why teams are continue to pitch to him, because the guy is on pace now to hit 63 homers. He's batting over 300. He's just killing the ball. He's leading the majors in damage against fastballs and against breaking balls. Why would you pitch to him? I don't understand. I know that somebody...
For the fans, Buster. For the fans. Come on. Fans want to see him hit homers.
That's not why. It's not why. You guys know, and I know why. It's because someone in the back room with you know, wearing a propeller is telling everyone, hey, you know what? The numbers show that you are better off pitching to these guys. I don't get it. I see it more and more, and the intentional walk rate now around baseball is the lowest since 1930. It doesn't make any sense.
Crazy.
Barry Bonds had how many intentional walks in that one season? It was like 120, something like that?
Something like that. He had 232 walks, yeah, which is the record, and you don't do that all the time, but at some point, you know, this whole idea of, you know what, I'm just going to throw my bastard pitch and make him hit the ball. Well, Aaron Judge is. I'm going to be really fascinated to see how some of these teams approach him going down the stretch, because he's killing everything right now.
Yeah, and it's fun to watch. It's definitely fun to watch. And the beauty about walking a guy right now, you don't even have to throw four pitches. Just put up four fingers.
True, just
give
sack,
him first base.
Ahead.
Yeah. let's talk about the other team in New York, Buster. They're a contender in the NL, and that's the New York Mets, and they've got one of the most exciting players in baseball, too. Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer, the starting as that rotation, and on the back end of that rotation, one of our new favorites is Edwin Diaz because of, you know, the entrance, the trumpets, the way his dominance. I mean, you tweeted out this morning his dominance. He's faced 63 batters, 38 strikeouts, one walk, seven hits, and opponents have an OPS of 258. I mean, does it get any more dominant than that? Like, are the Mets for real?
I had two times out against the Atlanta Braves. You know, eight, two, three, and so he can take four out of five. Not only did they eat.
All right, we're going to try. Did we try Buster again? I don't know. We're kind of up against the clock here.
He got very robot-y there.